Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by another podcast host, but that's not what we're talking about today. Welcome, David Delaney. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I mean, everybody's got a podcast now, right? So we're just joining the wave, but I'm just honored. A longtime listener, and I learn a ton from this show every week. So thanks for having me on, and I'm really excited to talk through some of these topics.
Yeah, man. I'm excited because not only is David the founder at 10bound Sales Consultancy, sort of competitors, but I don't think we've ever seen each other in a deal. And I think it's a big, big world. And I don't think it's one of those like sort of abundance mindset versus like fixed mindset kind of things. But the reason I wanted to have him on today, and we're actually pushing this episode out a couple of days early. We usually ship on episodes on Thursday, and it's now Thursday, and we're going to try and ship this one on Monday. So for the people on our side listening, thank you so much, because I know we're putting a bit of rush on this. But the reason we wanted to do it is David's got a sales development conference coming up on August 23rd at the Hyatt Embarcadero in San Francisco. If you haven't already got your tickets, hang on to this episode. David's going to give you like the best 2-minute pitch on why to be there that you've ever heard. So I'm setting you up, man.
But man, I have no pressure. I'm excited.
of all of the conferences that honestly, I think you probably have half of our podcast guests are speaking at this conference. So if you're like, hey, I like the podcast, you should go to the conference. It's the one conference every year that I always hear good feedback from, where people aren't like, oh, wishy-washy. No, it's like, it's got a ton of great people. I could go through the list now, but like some of my favorite podcast guests are going to be speaking at his conference. So highly recommend checking it out. I have no financial interest other than, you know, David's a good guy, and we'll find something to do together in the future.
Oh, 100%. I can't wait to work with you guys. And like you said, there's so many challenges out there that are being faced in the sales development space that you and I could be working on these projects forever. Excited to work with you guys. And yeah, I mean, the conference is like a celebration really of the sales development space and what we do every day and the challenges that we face and how we get through those. It's not a pitch. It's not like nothing against like user conferences per se, but This is really a practitioner conference of people that are in the trenches, getting this done either from a high level leadership perspective or ops perspective or a rep perspective. And just putting a stake in the ground to say, hey, what we do is super important. It's important to the business. It's important to our careers. And we need to get together at least once a year, hopefully more than that, and celebrate our profession. And it really has seemed to resonate. So yeah, I'm excited. One little thing, Colin, there's a big B2B marketing conference going on right now as we speak. And everyone's taking selfies. It looks awesome. I ran through the agenda, and it was just shocking to see there was absolutely not one mention or session or anything mentioning sales development. And it's like, wow. That for me is really shocking, because we play such a critical role in the success of B2B marketing, and to have a 2-day conference with nothing on there was just like, damn, dude. All right. Well, August 23rd.
Yeah,
that's all we're going to talk about. So
for sure. I totally agree. I mean, the frequency of people that I talk to and have on the show that role where their sales development teams roll up under marketing, the frequency has been increasing, and not just like, you know, dotted line to marketing. I mean like full on roll up into marketing. We had Franco on like 2 years ago, and he was one of the first people I'd heard. And I was like, man, that sounds crazy. But when he explained, they're like, he had a proper demand gen team. I was like, oh, it makes sense. They set up all the demand gen, and sales development is sort of the execution arm of, hey, we've created all these assets or all this sort of interest engagement. Now let's go actually fucking talk to these people. And I find that's just, you know, that's where you can create so much magic. So I totally agree. You know, a big conference on marketing, it's crazy that if this is a major trend, it feels like some of these conferences are maybe behind.
Yeah. And definitely I'm not dissing the conference at all, but it's just like, it was really shocking, and something, you know, my brain is lighting up right now, because You know, if you ever talk to Chris Beal, I'm sure he's been on the show, Connect and Sell, those guys. You know, it does come down to conversations. I mean, everything that we're doing on the marketing side comes down to, unless somebody can buy the product, and especially at the enterprise level, like, you know, sell big deals, we still have to have humans involved. We still have to have conversations. And when you think about conversations, it's sales development. It's going to be people talking to potential customers and just, you know, going through their objections and talking about the benefits and just contacting people. So obviously I'm very bullish on it. We're both very bullish. I see a huge future in the endeavor. And this is going to be, it's going to be fun.
Right on, man. Like I was looking at the guest list or the guest list, the speakers list, and like Jeremy Donovan from SalesLoft, Ryan O'Hara, LeadIQ, Jeremy from LeadIQ, the guys, Ryan and Rex from the sales developers. Who else was in there? It was Richard Harris. You've got Taft Love. You've got Chris Bryson. Like those two guys together, man. I've had Taft and Chris both on the show back to back, and they're like such a great pair. Like Sam Nelson from Outreach. I'm just kind of scrolling down, like the list goes on. And David, of course, this is that conference you want to be at.
Yeah, 100%, dude. And I appreciate it. And I just want to put a little note on there too. We made a huge effort to drive diversity and have a lot of different opinions at the conference. And we put in a big effort to reach out to not only the folks that are, you know, superstars in the sales development field, but also folks that are just doing amazing things. And some people, you know, got back to us, some didn't. And we made every effort to really diversify that lineup and make it representative of sales development today. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue on that. I mean, something that's so exciting about sales development is that it does offer opportunities to anybody who really wants to work hard and show that hustle and grit and make it happen. And that's something that I'm super excited about. So that's really important that we have that great diversity on that lineup as well.
Oh, totally. 100%, man. And so basically we're not just going to ramble on about sales development and, you know, why you should go to David's conference for the next hour, but we did actually sort of on theme of, because we got the conference, we're going to talk about the role of sales development in conferences. And so maybe I'm going to start with, before we get into through the lens of sales development, why events in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, big picture, we live in such a digital world now, and you know, we do pretty much everything over the phone and your smartphone and on your computer, and everything's ultimately scalable and leverageable. And it's an amazing time to be alive. I mean, I think that the power that we have just in our phone right now is exponential. And, the one thing there's also pitfalls in this digitization of all of our work is that you can end up just spending all day, especially as an SDR or in sales development, like never actually talking to anybody, live face to face. And it's kind of almost like a lost art to be able to do this. And, you know, if you think about it, the relationships that you can form, the things that you can learn, the networks that you can create, a lot of that still happens just face to face, pressing the flesh and like meeting people out in the marketplace. And so, I've always just been a big fan of events, and just getting out there and actually meeting people and building the relationships in that way, either through large ones or smaller ones, or even just face-to-face coffees and stuff like that. It's just super important now more than ever. The other thing is like, events are like a forced momentum, that you can have, because I think in sales development, we tend to, it can get monotonous and, one thing, doing something over and over again so that you have that activity level up high enough that you're talking to enough people and you're having those conversations. So what's cool about events is, I mean, they're on the calendar, they're a date. It's just a forcing mechanism to like get excited and talk to people and just have more conversations. And then it happens and you're done, you take a couple days off and then it's like, all right, it's a new one. So that's, you know, just a couple of the advantages of doing events.
Right on. You sort of hinted at like, in, you know, one on the sales development front, it can get lonely, right? You're not really meeting anybody. It's not like this is the good old days where you're knocking on doors and that's how you're prospecting. Although I'm sure there are some teams out there that still do that. You know, I'm looking at you, Xerox, anybody selling a photocopier, nothing wrong with it. They have an amazing sales program there for the branches they haven't shut down. Anyway, but they, so you're not seeing people in person anymore. And two, if you are a sales development rep, I think it's getting harder. It's got to be getting harder and harder and harder to book those meetings.
Yeah. I mean, you touched on a lot of things. I mean, there's the second thing you said, I often call it like, it's almost like antibiotic resistance. you know, just, there's been this explosion of tools over the last 10 years or so, and just an explosion of setting up sales development teams, you know, and people, one of the first things they do is once they have a viable product, especially in software as a service, you know, one of the first things they do is, hey, we got to get a sales development team. So on the customer, you know, the prospect side, it's becoming harder and harder to just contact people and get a message out to them that's interesting and spark up that conversation. And you got to be creative and you know, again, I'm a big proponent. That's why we're on the show today. Events are just a way, if you can get people up and out and at the event, and you have a strategy that we can talk about of engaging and not just losing that momentum when you're actually at the event, you know, it does give you much more of a chance than just sending out another 500 emails and hoping for the best.
That's totally fair. Yeah. And, you know, I talked with, it's Stephen Brody. I was drawing a blank on him. Yeah. I think it was a couple podcasts ago. I never know the exact order they get published in. But Stephen Brody was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he was talking about how like not sales development is dead, but like email and phone don't work. Social doesn't work. You got to get people to live in advance. And it's not that they don't work. And I'm not paraphrasing him correctly. But basically he was saying like so much of their business is coming from having these grassroots events that they can send customers, prospects, create a community, et cetera. And now you're getting people out from in front of their phones, from in front of their computers into a physical location where, you know, hopefully they brought their wallets, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, you know, it's omni-channel right now. I mean, you got to cover all the bases. I don't think any channel is dead for communication in any way, shape, or form. But events can be powerful because just like you said, you know, you can bring in the creativity, you can bring in the momentum, you can bring in, you know, all these different factors that can help force those conversations. And again, it's at the end of the day, it's having conversations, building relationships, and you know, eventually understanding, you know, what the pain points are of people and being able to fulfill those with your product. I just think you got to cover all the bases, and events are one of the most important things.
100%. I've heard nothing but great things about people talking about events. I totally agree on omnichannel. Hey, we've got a new thing that we haven't launched yet, but we've recorded a bunch of the videos. It's going to be a YouTube short series that we're going to do sporadically as results come in. But we basically spun up an Outbound Labs team at the beginning of this year, where we just have basically people do, you know, 20% of their time that work here focusing on testing and validating things we hear in the marketplace or hypotheses that they come up with, ideas they come up with. And so some of those can be direct mail, new ways of reaching out to people on social media, new ways of sending emails, like any of those things. You know, the whole first section of it, we focus specifically on the rules of sending email, right? Like how many emails can you send, right? There's all these myths about like, you got to send, you know, you got to send 10 emails and then 20 emails a week and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you build up. Right. And so we were like, well, it's sort of like Mythbusters for Outbound Labs or for Outbound Sales. It's like, well, I want to know, is any of this relevant? Is all of it bullshit? Because, yeah. You know, we do a ton of prospecting on a day-to-day basis. Our customers do a ton of prospecting and nobody really knows. And there's all these, like, there's all this hearsay. You see all these blog posts about, oh, this channel works. Oh, that channel works. And it's like, well, who sponsored that? And it's like, okay, well, even if it wasn't this company or this company's the product, so even if it wasn't the company behind the product, it was one of their star customers and the company is touting them as their star customer. And so obviously they want to present a story where, hey, we got a ton of value, right? It's like, you've made that investment. It's the principle of consistency. It's like, I want to show that one, I want the press, and two, I want to show that, hey, this tool is working. So I think there's so much of that out there that people take as gospel and say, oh, well, this one person worked, it worked for this one person, so it's going to work for the other, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's really interesting, because I think one of the best skills for the managers that are on the call or people that are running teams in sales development is, you know, becoming a, almost like bringing in the scientific side of it to your program and, yeah, you know, the testing hypothesis and seeing what's actually working for your situation on your end, because that's one of those things that human beings, you know, can only take in so much information. So that's why you get a playbook, you know, that worked great at your last company. You come into your current company, you implement it, and it falls flat. And you're like, uh-oh, you know, I'm going to be out of a job soon. So I think to your point, you know, one of the best skills that you can learn out there is, how do I, you know, systematically take a hypothesis that I have and then test it and see how it's working. And, you know, if it's working, double down on that and continue that. If it's not working, kill it fast and try something else. You know, I think that is a skill that is imperative for what we do.
100%. And me, myself, as a salesperson, or like, I'm founder CEO now, but I still think of myself as a salesperson. That's where I grew up. I've been selling for 18 years now. So a long time. And I don't consider myself like someone with a scientific background, but we had our product manager who is basically, we kind of refer to him as the mad scientist of the company. And he was all like scientific method and built this method for testing. He's got some docs. We've got a tracker, a way of looking at it and comparing and making sure that we're isolating only one variable. And it is certainly not perfect. But you know what? It's been probably the best attempt at like systematized learning and discovery that I've ever seen in a company that I've been a part of. So I'm pretty excited.
And just to go on, pull that thread a little bit. I mean, if you're listening out there and you're like, hey, I was a salesperson, you know, then I'm in charge of a sales development team, or, you know, I was a marketer, now I'm in charge of this program, what do I do? I mean, you can't, it's sales development is like an art and a science combined. And, you know, it's hard to find somebody that has every skill, you know, in the portfolio of stuff that you need to do to run a high performance sales development team. So it's like self-awareness to some extent, like, what are you actually good at? And what do you need to potentially, like you were saying, Colin, like, I need to partner up with a mad scientist so that I can figure out what's working, because, hey, what we're doing right now is not working, you know? And so I personally don't have the scientific skills to run a, you know, proper A/B test, but I'm sure that there might be somebody at your company or somebody in your network, come to the sales development conference. You might meet somebody that can run that and bolster up your weak spot there, because you don't have to do it all. You know, it's not a failure to ask for help.
100%. Yeah. If anybody is thinking of doing that, is thinking of trying to figure out a way of systematically testing out new channels, new ideas, drop me an email, colin@predictablerevenue.com, and I'll shoot you our template. I'll just sort of share it across. It's a Google Doc. I'll blank some things out, but I'm happy to share that if anybody's super interested.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, awesome.
I kind of suspected we were going to just like go around in circles here and just not follow exactly the agenda, but I'm glad this is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really does tie into events though as well. I mean, it's like, you know, for your particular company, events might fall flat. I mean, maybe you're dealing with people who just will not leave their house. Like they're, you know, cybersecurity professionals who are not allowed to actually leave their dark little chamber and come out and interact with us. It's also, you know, and not to like jump around.
You said, but like Black Hat Conference was last week. Sort of like totally disproving your theory.
Right. I mean, you know, yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe, you know, you got to test and see what it takes to get people out, because so we're talking why events. Like when I started 10bound, it was like, you know, there was nothing, you know, at no budget, no money, no nothing, but I knew a bunch of people and I like events, you know? So it's like, we got to get something going. So, you know, that it's, events are a good thing to start, you know, when you're just like, okay, we need to get something going right now. And we need a forcing mechanism. That's a date on the calendar, as I mentioned. So it's like, let's go ahead and get this going. And then let's get a bunch of people in the room and see what sticks, you know? And so for folks out on the line who are like, how do I integrate this into what I'm doing right now? You know, there is an element of experimentation and hypothesis to how are we going to get people to get off their butts and come to our event and interact with us. So you got to be pretty strategic about, you know, what, not only who are you going to target to try to get there, so you're not wasting your time, you know, the classic prioritization, but what are the triggers that would make, you know, a whatever your persona that you're trying to target come out and meet with you, because it is a competitive market for time as well. They're probably getting hit up a lot. And the further that you go up the food chain in the company, they're getting more invites to come to events. So you got to really be strategic about, you know, who are we going to target and what's going to get them out the door to come in and meet with you.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And so when you're thinking about through the lens of sort of the sales development team, right? We're not going to go into like, how do you start an event on this show? Cause I'm sure you know all of that information, but I'm not sure that people listening in are going to be like, yeah, I'm going to go start an event. And maybe if you are, email me and we'll get David back and we'll do that podcast. But if you're sitting in the sales chair and you're like, well, we have an event coming up, what's the best way that people can work together with their marketing team so that you're getting the most out of the event?
Yeah. I mean, well, so taking a step back, like really taking ownership of understanding your market that you're calling out to and the people that you're calling out to. And the reason I say that is if you know your personas, you know, two or three personas, like the back of your hand, and you know the two or three pain points that they're generally dealing with on a daily basis, you can work much better with your marketing team, because you know, you can go back to them and say, you know, this list that you gave me is not necessarily what I need. This is actually what I need. Okay. This, the collateral that you're giving me is not necessarily the best, you know, for this particular situation. I actually need something like this. And, you know, being really intimate with your market, you might have better information, you know, and you don't want to come across as a know-it-all, but it's your job as a sales development person to contact the people and get them interested in the event and get them to the event. So you want to make sure that the air cover that you're getting really supports that. And the only way that you can do that is by really knowing your marketplace. Because if you just sit there as sort of a passive recipient of what they make for you and what they supply, you might be just totally spinning your wheels and calling the wrong people who are not interested in this event, and you're not going to get anywhere. So I would say, first and foremost, know your market so that you can test and validate what the marketing team is making for you.
And I'm going to just double stamp this one, because if you're not if you're not sending this information back to marketing saying, hey, I went to this list, I tried it, I got nothing. Like imagine in their shoes, if they're running, instead of running an experiment with you or running, you know, giving you something for you to go out and run with, imagine they were running an ads campaign, right? And say they're going to spend, think about what your monthly salary is. So say they're going to spend a month of your time, right? Call it 6 to 10 grand fully loaded, right? And they're going to invest 6 to 10 grand fully loaded, and they're just going to toss you these material. I mean, not physically toss them, but they're going to send them to you, and they're not going to look back. right? They obviously want that feedback. If they were spending $6,000 to $10,000 a month on ads, you would think they'd be checking the dashboard pretty regularly. You'd think that they would be sort of making tweaks and tuning it and adjusting it and updating it. And this is what I see our marketing team doing. And I imagine most people's marketing teams are doing this. But I find with sales development, because there's this disconnect, is they're not seen as sort of the execution engine. They're seen as sort of people on the other side of the fence. I think it's on both sides. We've got to kind of come together and say, listen, hey, we tested this out. Here's the results. What do you think? Right? We got to come back to create that loop.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's all about, how you deliver information. I mean, you don't want to come back to them as this kind of know-it-all SDR person who's just like complaining about the list that they're making. It's more just like, hey, I'll give you an example. Like let's say you're targeting VPs of sales who are in the San Francisco Bay Area at SaaS companies. And, you know, the material that you're getting to promote the event is just, you know, kind of a generic pitch. And because you know the VP of sales persona and pain point so intimately, you know that this is not necessarily going to resonate. And then you get a list and it's like a bunch of AEs and operations people and, you know, all this random stuff. I mean, because you know your job so well, you can go back to them and then it becomes like, how do you communicate this? But it's like, hey, can we just kind of go through this? Because I'm not trying to be a pain in the neck, but I want to make the event successful. And so let's talk about like, what do VPs of sales really care about? How do they communicate? Who do they trust? You know, how can we like massage this a little bit so we can actually get the people that we want to the event?
100%. And so in this model, you're relying purely on your SDRs. Hey, book all these meetings, fill the seats, make sure we sell all the tickets.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it comes down to that because it's a classic thing. The marketing folks, you know, are conceptualizing and they're probably ordering the cocktails and interfacing with the venue and things like that. They got a lot
of so soft.
What's that?
Make them sound so soft.
Hey, I'm a marketer, you know, I mean, like me and you we're marketers, we're salespeople, we're the ops people, we're everything. So I feel it. But the reason I bring that up is the marketers have a lot on their plate. I mean, their metrics are usually not aligned, right, with sales development. So they're working on a lot of different stuff. And that's why you get that throw it over the fence mentality. It's just like, okay, the next thing on my list is, I got to make the graphics for this event. I got to come up with a script and then I got to get the leads over to the SDR team. Check, check, check. 5:00. I'm done. I'm going to go have a drink. Okay, done. So we got to be a little bit more nuanced and help them because at the end of the day, the way that they're going to get measured is how many of that target actually showed up at the event. So we got to work together and align, you know, so that we can make that happen. But yeah, you threw me off. Like I'm totally not dissing. And you know, I'll say also a lot of times we give it to the AEs and we go, hey, fill up this event with your top, you know, people. Mm-hmm. And you know, the AEs, that's tough too. They're giving demos, they're on airplanes, they're flying around, they're doing all the things that they do in order to close deals. And they don't have time to like call Betty, the, you know, prospect and say, hey, will you come to this event and stuff like that? So yeah, a lot of it does really, from what I've seen, it comes down to the efficiency of the SDRs.
100%. The SDR is sort of like that. I see them as the execution arm of the marketing team, right?
Big time.
And like to the point where our SDRs now roll up under marketing. And we have like our sales manager who's sort of working with them on like skills development, et cetera, but we all kind of sit on the same team. And, you know, we're a small enough team that makes a lot of sense. I imagine as we grow, it's going to get bigger. But at the end of the day, we're having everybody roll up under the VP of revenue, as opposed to two different teams, two different meetings, two different sets of metrics. And so at least in terms of that way, there's alignment there.
100%. I mean, I think that the old stats was like 70% of SDR teams roll up to sales, which I know that it's blasphemy, but that's never made sense to me because I really think I've always advocated that it roll up to marketing and that marketing take it really, really seriously because it's so important to the success of the overall company. And just coming back, like that's when I scrolled through the agenda of that major B2B marketing conference and there was nothing there about sales development. I was just like, damn, dude, this is not getting through.
Yeah. I can understand how sales development ended up in sales because traditionally when you were a full stack sales rep, you did prospecting, closing and account management. So they're like, okay, well, let's just chunk that prospecting piece off and let's give it to somebody else. And now that person sits next to you. Right. So it's still the sales manager. Like I can understand how it would end up that way. I do agree that in certain companies, having the marketing team have this mindset, you can just get so much more out of it. Cause I find the things that we're running on the sales development team, they're starting to bridge more into marketing, right? It's not just like pure, hey, cold call, cold call, cold call. Right? You're not just knocking out $150 a day, unless you're talking to Chris Beal, who wants to make $1,000 a day and charge you like $6,000 a day per rep. I love Chris. He's got a perspective and he sticks to it. And I think it's amazing in some circumstances and, you know, it doesn't make sense in others. So I don't have an opinion on the tool other than as a rep being plugged into the matrix is just weird. It's just a weird experience.
Big time. I mean, again, and not to give an escape hatch, but the consulting answer is it really does depend on your company and the marketplace and what makes the most sense at the time. I just think that getting away from dogmatic approaches and really creating a program that's customized to your company and the marketplace is the way to go. And that labs concept that you're talking about sounds amazing. So, I mean, definitely if you guys are on this and you want to download that report or that spreadsheet from Colin, I mean, that sounds like a great framework for it.
Yeah. We've got some more content coming out. Our product manager, he's not a product manager. He does much, much more than our product manager, but we haven't really updated his title because we don't know what it would be. But let's call him Kenny. He's been doing such a great job with all that stuff. I am going to get him on the show. I think I've promised it a couple of times. And it's just been, we've been heads down launching a bunch of new things. So I'm going to get Kenny and then Lavinia, who's running the day-to-day of the Outbound Labs team. She's sort of the head there. And so she's the one that we recorded all this content with, but Kenny's got some really cool content that we're working on. So we'll do a big episode at some point in the next couple of months here is what I'm hoping for. But don't hold me to that. So we've kind of covered, you know, your life as an SDR leading up to the conference. And really it's like, it's sell tickets or it's book meetings, right? If the tickets are full, if that's, you know, maybe you're working for a bigger company and they're like, you know what, we've got this, then you could really just booking meetings for the AEs that are showing up, right? That's the way sort of I see my role. If I'm an SDR and we've got a conference coming up, I'm going to find the list. I'm going to find who went there last year. I'm going to reach out, add some new people to that list that, you know, might have joined the company recently and then see, hey, is everybody coming out here? And I'm sure everybody that's been to a conference recently probably gets these emails before and after. So, you know, kind of par for the course. What about for the account exec, for us closers that are going to these events, how do we get the most out of these other than, you know, pushing our sales development reps to book as many meetings as they can for us?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, thing number one is go back and as much as you possibly can, like I said, I know that AEs have a ton of different things on their plate and they're held to a number, but as much as you can act as that SDR, as much as you can for your top tier accounts and try to get people out, just acting in the same way as the SDR. A lot of those top account folks, they will come out. They just don't know about it, or they don't have it on their calendar early enough, or they don't understand what the value is. And so that's something that, you know, you could break off an hour or two before to just get people there, get them to come, get them to commit and help to fill up the room, because that helps you and it helps everybody on the team so that there's a good, number of attendees and it really gets that critical mass going. And the other quick thing is, you know, take advantage of every moment that you have at the event that itself. And extroverts are classic, salespeople. They love talking to people. They get all their energy from talking to people, and they're just your classic salesperson. So I'm not as worried about them. They'll go there and they'll talk to anybody who's around and try to stoke those relationships and talk to everybody at the event. I'm more worried about more of the introverted salespeople, because they can be super successful. They're some of the best salespeople that are out there. But at events, it might be a little bit overwhelming and exhausting. And I would just say, if you can build up the energy to talk to as many people at the event as possible, mm-hmm. Exchange, LinkedIn connections and meet people, because it's such a golden opportunity. And I just see, and this isn't just AEs, but SDRs and the people working at the booths and stuff like that, especially during quiet times and just people kind of checking out, getting exhausted, sitting there looking at their phone. And it's like, it's crazy to me, because it's such a huge expense to put on events and to get out there and to get on airplanes. You got to take advantage of every single moment that you're there to make those human connections and talk to people. You can rest later that night at the hotel.
100%. And as an AE, I mean, there's, especially if you're selling mostly Zoom to Zoom or on the phone, getting a FaceTime with a prospect, it's like with the Zoom and in a video, you learn quite a bit more, but just being in person with somebody, you can sit back, have a coffee, share a beer. There are so many studies that have actually shown that actually the act of sharing a meal, not just a meal, but actually sharing a plate of food. There's something about psychologically about sharing from the same dish as somebody else that brings the two of you close together.
100%, dude. I mean, all this technology just came out in the last 50 years. Before that, it was hundreds of thousands of years of human interaction that was mostly face-to-face. I mean, unless you could yell or do smoke signals. I mean, that's how we evolved as a species, and it's how we, make those connections. They're human connections, and that's what the live event gives you. So go all out. Give it all you got at the event itself to try to meet people. Just a quick story, Colin, is I had this guy who was following me all around on LinkedIn for months. Like, he kept popping up. He was making comments. He was trying to get with me, trying to have a meeting and all this stuff. And I couldn't get to it. But I remembered his face, because he kept popping up on LinkedIn. And then the weirdest thing, I was walking around at an event, and he walks right up to me, looks me right in the face, and then just kind of walks by and looks at his phone. And I was like, dude, all the effort that you spent for months, popping up and sending in mails and link and emails and all this stuff, and the time and expense that took, and you were right there at a event, and you were just too shy to just walk up to me and say hello. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting phenomenon.
That's a tough one for sure. I can see where some, if it's somebody more junior, might be, you're a thought leader in the space. So I could see how that would be an intimidating ask. I know I have a different perspective, because the way I met Aaron was exactly that. I was his internet stalker for a year, and eventually he's like, all right, kid, leave me alone. Let's just bring our two companies together. And it was literally him throwing the white flag, be like, fine, let's just do this. It was his idea, but I hounded the crap out of him until he, saw that this is going to make a ton of sense. We're going to both make, the business grow.
And again, omni-channel, not disparaging that at all, but say Aaron was walking by at a conference, and Aaron is the top sales leader in sales development, and probably very intimidating. But I would encourage Colin, if that happened, to just walk up and say hello. You know what I mean? Even though you got to kind of buck up and do it because, hey, I mean, he might blow you off or he might just walk right by, but at least you gave it a shot at the event. And then, yeah, you can go back to your desk and go back on LinkedIn and stalk him.
For sure. I actually ended up, I was like email, LinkedIn. I found his personal phone number somewhere on a SlideShare presentation somewhere. So I started texting him. Anyway.
Man. I mean, that's all those movies like Wall Street and A Pursuit of Happiness. They all involved some kind of doing whatever you had to do to get in front of, you know, your top prospect. And it makes a great movie. But it's super uncomfortable at the time. Especially for introverts, like you just, everything in your bones is going against you walking up to somebody. But hey, again, like you put so much effort into this event and you're going to the event and your company is spending all this money and you're spending all this money. And it's like, dude, this is your time. Like, go for it.
Mm-hmm. So I've got something for introverts because we do a ton of conferences and I got a quick story about Saster and then I'll get into the tactics. And if you've heard me talk about events on the show, you can just tune out because I've talked about this before. If you haven't heard, listen up. So basically we've been to Saster every year and we almost stopped going about 3 years ago. And it was because we were getting tons of badge scans. We got tons of air quotes leads, but zero actual conversions, maybe one or two, but nothing like significant and certainly not ROI positive because of all the work that goes into bringing 10 people from Vancouver to San Francisco and having a booth and all that nonsense. So we sort of challenged our team and said, listen, if we don't get strong, like a strong ROI on the conference this year, it's our last year. And so the one thing that we did that I think helped, the one sort of realization I had was thinking back to all the conversations and I was sort of reviewing like, okay, well, why didn't this one go anywhere? Why didn't this one go anywhere? And when I looked back at all the conversations that we'd had, it was a bunch of freeform conversations. I'd forgotten that this is still a sales motion, right? And I was thinking, hey, I'm just a guy standing around having a beer with a bunch of possible prospects and we're just chatting. Right. And then you get chatting about this, you get chatting about that. There was no structure. There was no closing. There was no progressing. There was hardly any booking meetings. And then you're sort of in this conversation about nothing, which is basically a Seinfeld episode. And then you got the awkward sort of ask at the end, be like, hey, do you know, I think we can help you guys. Do you want to, you know, book a meeting to follow up? And they're like, no, not really. Like, we didn't really talk about anything valuable. You wasted 20 minutes of my time. Now I'm going to move on to the next booth. And so I kept going through all the conversations. I'm like, shit, I had all these conversations. I should know better. And I've, you know, been selling this time for like 14 or 15 years. So if I am acting this way, I bet you all are more junior people, whether they're introverted or extroverted, are feeling the same way. And so we built these, basically they're postcards. They've got our qualification criteria on them. They've got a couple other things. And if you're curious, I'll throw a link in the show notes, but basically I wrote a couple articles about what they look like and how we designed them and some of the metrics. It was a huge increase. We had like a 5X increase in the number of closed deals from I think year 3 to year 4. Because we were focused on having a good conversation. And it's not just about checking boxes. It's about the postcard and a pencil reminds you that you're here for work. It reminds you that, hey, and we don't bring them out with everybody. We bring them out when you start off a conversation and somebody sounds interested and you're like, hey, do you mind if I take a couple notes? And then it puts you back into that. Okay. Remember to qualify, remember to ask some of these questions and help sort of triangulate where the pain is. And then it structures the conversation in a way that at the end it flows naturally into, you know, we've both agreed there's some next steps. How about Friday? How about next Tuesday? How about whatever it is? And it just changed the context of all the conversations that we were having. It was probably one of the most powerful things we've done for our event strategy.
I love that. That's so super valuable. I think I read some of those blog posts. Having that structure is huge because let's say everybody agrees that we're going to go to the event and we're really going to make an effort to talk to as many people as possible. Great. Okay. But then, Colin, to your point, it's like you don't want those to just spin out into just the Seinfeld is perfect. I mean, it's just nothing. And you look at it that way. If you have more of a structure and you can stick to it, just imagine how much more productive you could be at the event. So great advice.
Yeah, man. Our stats went from like 300 badge scans to 55 of these cards filled out and 6 or 7 closed deals. I can't remember. It's in the article that I'll link to.
Yeah. And it makes me think, I mean, if you're not having a little impromptu training session before the event of what's going to be our strategy, who's going to talk to who are we trying to talk to? Do we have our cards ready? Has everyone read Colin's blog post? You know, I mean, having some kind of training session set up is hugely valuable just to make sure everybody's on the same page.
100%, 100%. It's sort of a forcing function, as you will.
Yes.
To make sure that you've got everything, and people are like, wait, what are these cards? How are we going to do that? How are we going to use this? What is that going to look like? And so it creates all these questions, and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you've got to add some process to it. And again, like I was saying, I mean, if you're more of the art versus science, type of sales development leader, and, you need some help with this, I mean, this is again, something that's like, hey, I need some process. Who could I potentially tap on the shoulder within the company, or maybe a consulting firm like Colin, to help me like structure something like this so we can really maximize our ROI. It's worth every second that you spend on that.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And so I want to get to, you know, the impact that's had on your business, but maybe one last piece as a manager, what are some things you can do going into a conference?
Yeah, definitely. So, and just alluded to that, it's, you've got to make sure that you're super deliberate about the training and coaching for the team, you know, going into it, and that everybody's got, you know, that card is a great example, a script. What's our goal for this? Like, where are we trying to go? So that it's not just endless, you know, conversations without any result at the end. That's mm-hmm. really on the manager for the team to make sure that we do that. And then, you know, say you have to be super prescriptive with the goals that you're setting, because say you tell somebody, okay, I want you to go and just talk to everybody at the event. Well, exactly what you're saying. I mean, okay, what came out of that? But it's like, these are our goals. This is what we want to come out with. Let's also set up a schedule where we meet up during the event and debrief and course correct if need be. But you really have to, you know, be the kind of the quarterback of the thing, to make sure that people don't just kind of drift off.
Totally. Because it's so easy to just jump back into Seinfeld mode where you're having conversations about nothing.
Totally. Exactly.
It's a little bit of like the pregame. Okay, here's the strategy. It's a little bit of the keeping people sort of on top of while you're there, saying, hey, okay, what's your goal? How many people do you want to meet? How many of these cards do you want to have filled out? And then the post, making sure people are following up on all the activity they promised that they were going to do at the conference, but probably aren't going to do unless you kind of give them a little kick.
Yeah. And again, it's the manager can really, like drive this process of getting with the marketing team and trying to get a calendar and trying to understand, you know, what events are coming up, and are they digital events as far as webinars? Are they live events? Are they going to be smaller, like dinners and stuff like that? And have that calendar sync up with the training calendar that you're doing with the team, so that you don't have surprises. I mean, I can't count how many times I remember, you know, suddenly, hey, did you know that we have a webinar today? And everyone's like, huh? You know, or, hey, I just got this list of, you know, people that attended our dinner out in Omaha, you know, a couple of days ago. And I guess we're supposed to call them and like set appointments. Like, you know, that just, it's
shrug.
Yeah. It's like, well, are we? And I know that there's a lot of coordination involved. And I mean, you know, as the sales development leader, like you can actually step up and try to get ahead of that so that you can help to coordinate and tie those loose ends together versus just sort of being a passive recipient of information.
Totally. I mean, to stay on theme, those list of people that went to, you know, your conference or showed up to a dinner, it's gold, David, gold.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, it's like that's a really good point. I mean, you get these lists and it's like, yeah, we got, you know, 500 booth scans at Dreamforce or something like that. It's like, here, just call them. I mean, and nobody on this call would ever do that, but I mean, you see that a lot with companies, and hey, you got to be a little bit more prescriptive and strategic with these and really make sure that it's worth your time and effort to do, because that is kind of a recipe for disaster.
100%, man. Yeah. If I look at like where our meetings are coming from the last 6 months, you know, I'd say, you know, pure cold is probably half to 75% of it. And then 25% sort of icing on the cake is, you know, webinars, it's events we went to, it's events we didn't go to, but we got registered and we found people in the app and we were chatting with them and things like that. Like there's all these unique ways of, you know, especially along the theme of like, hey, it's getting harder to get people to reply to our emails. It's getting harder to cold call. Right. So we got to find new and unique ways. And I think the conferences, getting out to a conference or being involved in a conference is certainly one of those ways. And I absolutely think exactly what you're saying, which is if there are materials, if there's engagement, if there's any sort of interaction with prospects created by the conference, then it warrants a look by the sales development team to say, hey, is there any way we can get more out of this?
Big time. Definitely. And one quick thing, Colin, there is because we were in our third year with the conference and it's got some momentum, I was absolutely flooded with people trying to present at the conference. And, you know, that is, I would encourage you, and you can flood me with requests, it's totally fine. But if there are certain conferences that are in your space and it's your target market, try to get up on the stage because you instantly become credible and, you know, it adds gravitas to yourself and to your company. And it could make those conversations easier to have down the road at the conference. And then also, you know, following up on people. So most of those conferences, like they have a form that you can fill out and apply, or if you know somebody, try to get involved in some way because that really, adds to the credibility.
For sure. I had a section in here about the impact it's had on 10bound, but I think I want to skip that because I want to jump into, this has been a long episode because, you know, you put a couple of sales.
Sorry.
Also podcast, you know, it's just naturally going to happen. So I want to get to closing. Why should people come to your conference?
Well, I mean, I'm bullish on sales development. Obviously, I think it's here to stay. I think that we still need, we need people involved in the conversation process and getting people into the pipeline. And they need to be skilled. They need to be trained. They need to be really leading. I mean, how many times have we gone through in this conversation about how, you know, the sales development leaders can really lead the charge in causing alignment around events and other campaigns and getting a great ROI for the company. So I see a big future in the profession. I'm excited about it. If you are too, hey, this is, you know, the top minds in the industry under one roof one day. It's on a Friday. Nobody's really working anyways. So, you should definitely be there.
Right on. And so it's who's going to get value? Is it just sales development people? Is it leaders? Is it CEOs that don't have a sales development team yet?
Yeah. I mean, it's all the B2B marketers that were at that event and there was no... sales development sections. No. Definitely. I mean, if you're on the go-to-market side and you want to figure out how to bolster your pipeline, you should definitely be there. And, you know, I didn't really mention, but the theme of this year is alignment. So it's kind of exactly what we've been talking about. And how do we get these various silos together rowing in the same direction toward the revenue goals that we have for the company. And so, yeah, to your point, it's CEOs, it's CMOs, it's VPs of sales, it's obviously sales development leaders, and then the reps and the ops folks have tracks as well.
I hear sort of on theme that you're going to have a bunch of chiropractors running around and adjusting people.
That's a good idea. I could probably use that for after the conference.
There you go. There you go. Just put on a lab coat and be like, I'm on theme because, you know.
Alignment.
It's alignment.
I love it.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. What session are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, man. I mean, you mentioned Jeremy Donovan. I've been a huge fan of his for a long time. I love what they're doing over there and really digging into the data. Like I said, I'm much more of art than science. And so that whole science of sales development really intrigues me. And to that end, I'm also looking forward to Taft and Chris. I've just been a huge fan of what they were what they've been doing, and I'd love to get inside their brains and learn about how they think about sales development. So, all of them, you know, being a politician here, all of them look amazing, but definitely those are some weak points for me, and so I'm excited to learn more about how they think of it.
Right on. I noticed you also had, you got Kent Vanuk. He was one of like, I want to say like episode 10 or 15 or something like that. Like super, super early in early days in the podcast. I was still kind of cutting my teeth. If you're listening, don't go back and listen to those ones. The content is really great. Ken's episode was amazing. But like, how many people have you met that have hired 100 SDRs?
Not many. There was a guy from Samsara who was at the Topo conference, which is another awesome conference, who was going through the hockey stick growth over there. I don't know if he's hired 100, but it was pretty damn close. But that's an amazing story. And Kent is just, Kent, you know, on the event, you know, theme, Kent, I met at the conference at the sales development conference a couple of years ago. And we've been in touch. Amazing guy, whip smart, and a leader in our industry.
Yeah.
So again, another, you know, you got to get out there and meet people because it's huge.
Right on. And are you going to get Ryan O'Hara to sing a song or do a dance or something? Like, did you write a theme song for the conference? I'm sure he would.
Oh my God. I mean, as long as Jeremy doesn't get up there and play guitar, that's the only thing. Like, I can see from your avatar, Colin, that you're a guitar player. And I don't know if you've ever seen Jeremy play guitar, but it is painful. I'm sure it'll give you a lot. I'm sure he gets a lot of doors open with his humor, but the guitar playing, I think we'll pass on that this year.
Is this Jeremy Lavelle or?
Yeah. Lavier. Yeah.
Lavier. Sorry.
No problem.
I
said it that way too. So,
you know, I grew up in Canada. I'm still in Canada, but we grew up saying things like I would have normally said Levier, but I've kind of like Americanized a lot of my English. Like, sure. I used to call it Pardo. People were like, no, it's Pardot. I'm like, no, it's a French word, or at least it looks French.
It was
like, no, it's Pardot. I'm like, sure. So I filtered that side out.
Totally. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, those guys are so funny. I mean, they're Ryan and Jeremy just bring a lot of humor and you know, they're going to be up there, you know, talking about their session is called Things That Don't Scale, which, you know, it's just everything's scalable and leverageable and you got to do it a billion times. And they're just going to be talking about things that are just, it's creative and it's kind of what we need to talk about and getting in front of people these days. So I'm excited about that one too.
Yeah. Ryan's got a couple of great stories about writing songs and tracking down people and yeah.
You got to, man. Like I said, I mean, sales development is harder and harder every day. So it's that creativity, combined with the science that's, gonna, you know, help us to break through. So yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe the next sales development conference, we'll do like a sales development jam. We'll get like Ryan on the keys. We'll get Kate Turchin to do some singing.
Definitely. I love it.
Yeah. You and me can be like bongos. Maybe I'll play some guitar.
There you go.
I think that'd be awesome.
Tambourine, cowbell.
Exactly. All right, man. You mentioned there are only 25 tickets left. And you'd actually promised to us that you'd hang on to a couple. So I want to say we have like maybe 5 or 10 tickets left from the little pool that that David had sort of assigned to us. There's a special friends and family rate. So if you want to get that, you can email myself or you can email david@tenbound.com. Just let him know you came from the Predictable Revenue Podcast and you want the special tickets.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're super excited. And it's just an honor to be on the show and to be able to chat with your audience and talk with you, Colin. So really appreciate it.
Right on, man. And I did want to actually shout out a different company and a big thank you to Robbie Allen, who I had on a couple podcasts ago, I think. I know I had him on, I just sequencing. But he recommended this tool called crisp.ai. And I don't know if you've ever worked as an SDR in an open office, but it's basically a tool that sits on your Mac or on your Windows computer and it filters out the background noise. And so far it's killing it in the office. It didn't work super well when I had a baby or crying toddler behind me. But I've talked to people that are using it in cafes in Spain. I've talked to people that are using it in our office, our sales development office down in Cancun. We've got an office up here in Vancouver that's wide open. You know, it might filter out barking dogs as if on cue.
Oh my God. I'm trying to cover my mic. I have not invested in Crisp yet. Obviously my coworker is letting you know that. It's so funny because I saw the AppSumo deal come out, where they had a special on Crisp licenses. And then I saw, I think you guys were talking about it on MSP.
Yeah.
And then my dog just interrupted our podcast with his comments on it. So yeah, I think it's definitely something I want to check out.
For sure. Highly recommend it. It's Crisp with a K, crisp.ai. Definitely check it out. David, just in closing, what's the best way people are like, hey, I want to get to this conference, or, you know, I want you to come do some work for me, or I want to speak at your conference. What's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, definitely. Just head over to tenbound.com. It's tenbound.com. And there's a ton of free resources there, and you can jump on the newsletter, and we'll be in touch with this conference and future ones. So that's probably the best way to get me.
Right on. He's also got a podcast, which is called, I think, the Sales Development Podcast.
It's a very original name, I know.
Man, you're talking to the guy who named theirs the Predictable Revenue Podcast. So, you know, I couldn't think of anything better.
You can't get a better name than that for sales development. I mean, that's the first name in sales development. So I love it. Yeah. I love doing these interviews and chatting about this stuff. It's always top of mind. So, this has been one of my favorite podcasts. You guys just put out such great content, Colin. So I appreciate it.
Thanks, David. You too. I'm a big fan of your podcast as well. And we won't go talking about our podcast for anymore. I think we'll just end it there. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.